Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Please
turn
then in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. Those who carry the few Bibles, it will be page 809. This morning we will concentrate in verse 4, but I will read from verse 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. We're looking at the second beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. It reads as follows as I read from the ESV. Seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truths upon our hearts. Let's pray. Nkosi, siyabonga. Siyabonga Jesu, musa wakho longaka, futhi ude la emhlabeni Nkosi, ufele thine toni. Ngakho Baba, sitawuphakamisa izandla zethu, sitakudumisa ngemadvolo, sitakukhothamela ngetindzebe tethu temlomo, sitakudumisa Nkosi. Siyakubonga ekuseni, sibonga umusa wakho, sibonga amandla wakho, sibonga ubukhulu bakho Jehova Sebaothi. Yiba nathi ke namanje kulo nomusa, yiba nathi namanje Jehova lonoluthando. Sitawufunza livu lakho, sitawushumayela livu lakho, sibusise, vula tindlebe, uvule nomlomo wami Nkosi. Livu lakho livele kuwe, lehlele etinhlitiyweni tebantwana bakho. Yiba nomusa kithi ekuseni ngeligama leNkosi yethu Jesu Kristu. We all say amen. Blessed are those who mourn. Don't you miss those days when people will weep sadly and they will mean it? But they will weep at the death of anyone closer to them. Don't you miss those days? Not long ago, me and my wife Tandy attended a funeral. How shocked we were at the experience there. We expected to find the people covered with ashes. We expected to find people fainting with sadness because the person who had died was so closer to them. But instead, people were going up and down, shopping for new dresses and new shoes, new high heels, going to expensive saloon to do nails and to do hair for the funeral. During the funeral, one of them stood there and said, This is not a funeral. This is a homecoming celebration for Nosipho. I just changed the name. So they were celebrating there because it's a homecoming celebration instead of mourning. They were standing there, all of them, wearing so beautiful, looking as though they were attending the MTN Music Awards. That is what we have these days. In another occasion, one of my family members appeared to have no problem at all. Throughout the whole week, there was death in the family, but she appeared to have no problem at all. She was jumping around the whole week without even one tear drop from her face or from her eyes. But at the graveyard, as soon as the coffin was taken down, she screamed and cried so loud, people almost had heart attacks. She rolled herself on the ground. She was covered with dust. She was crying and she fainted for a few seconds. A few minutes later, there she was standing, talking on the phone, laughing and making jokes with friends. Friends, church, there is something wrong with people. People refuse to mourn. They either refuse to mourn or they fake their sorrows. Even though God has given us that ability and the privilege to mourn, He has created us as people capable for mourning. It is a gift to mourn, but people will not mourn. People will fake their sorrows. They cover their sadness with a smile. They pretend that they are joyful in their hearts when they are not. Then they will consume alcohol and drugs just to cover that they are in shame and in sorrow. Then they will believe their own lies, saying this is a celebration when it's time to mourn. But hey, when you open your phone and you look at their WhatsApp status, this is what you get. My heart is filled with sorrow when I consider I will never see you again. Rest in peace, Bembe. Rest in peace, Mavundla. That is the status. But he was laughing and doing everything and saying there's nothing wrong, everything is fine. But this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ says, blessed are those who mourn. But of course, that is not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is not talking about your sorrow over the loss of your loved one. Jesus is not talking about you mourning because something horrible has happened in your life. The question is, what is Jesus talking about? But first then, I think we need to identify, we need to ask the question and answer, who are these mourners that Jesus is talking about? When you read your Bible, you look at the context of the verse, you realize Jesus is talking about the believers. The believers are the mourners. Those who are poor in spirit, they are the mourners. The question that we need to ask and answer as well, what kind of mourners are these? Since we have realized there are those who can fake to be mourning, and there are those who can fake as if they are not mourners. But what kind of mourners are these? You realize that firstly, what I want us to look at is that they are true mourners. They are true mourners. They are those who have gained a realistic experience of their sin. They have gained a realistic experience of sinfulness in the world. And the only reasonable response they have is to mourn and sorrow concerning their condition. Those are true mourners. The only thing they can do is to mourn and sorrow for the condition that they are in. They realize the beauty, the glory, the holiness of God, and they see themselves as those who are short of all those things. Then they mourn. And I want you to notice that the word mourning, I'm not talking about the early mourning, but mourning, like weeping, that we have here in this verse, it speaks of grief and sorrow caused by profound loss. You must have lost something to mourn in this way. The question is then, what is it that I have lost if I have to mourn like that? What is it? Then you realize that it has to be the loss of peace over a disappointing act of sin. A loss of peace. If you are a child of God, that's why I said it is the children of God. A child of God loses peace over an experience of sin. So it is a loss of peace over a disappointing act of sin. It speaks of a regret of the ignorance of God's holiness and His righteousness. It is to be troubled more about sin than anything on the earth. It is to feel the burden of sin in general, and then you faint within you. You look at the world, you look at the word of God, you look at the righteousness of Jesus, you look at the foolishness of this world, then you mourn within you. That is the mourning I'm talking about this morning. And I want you to notice, as you look at this verse, Jesus does not say they are blessed because they have mourned, which is past tense. No, look at the verse. They are blessed because they mourn right now. It is a present and continuous experience and function of a believer. It is something that the believer is doing right now. It is not something that the believer has done. So if you have mourned for your sin in the past and you have come to the Lord because you mourn for your sin, that is great, but that is past tense. We have mourned then. But Bazalwan, this verse is telling us that they are mourners now. They are mourning and they are weeping in this present life. So the believer goes through then life with an ever deepening mourning within himself, mourning over sin. Maybe I should ask the question, is that the kind of a believer you are? Someone continuing to live in this world but seeing sin as something that should cause sorrow
in his heart, continuing to mourn for sin or over sin in this world. Remember, let me give you a perfect example. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 11. The Bible tells us that at the death of Lazarus, he wept. Why would the Son of God weep at the death of Lazarus? Why did he mourn so bitterly? He knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that Lazarus was going to rise at his command. But Jesus, Bazarane, continued to weep. Why would Jesus weep? Knowing that he will do something about it. Because, Bazarane, he couldn't bear the horror of sin that the world has suffered. He couldn't bear the fact that the wages of sin is death. So as you look at Lazarus' death, as you look at him, as you think about him inside that tomb, he realized that, oh, because of that transgression of Adam, the whole world dies. The whole world is dying. People are acting the way they are acting today. There is xenophobic attacks today because people are sinful. Christ wept. He was weeping over sin. His heart was consumed with deep sadness because the wages of sin is death. In Luke chapter 19, if you read from verse 41 to verse 44, the Bible tells us Jesus was going to Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us there were a lot of people around him. There was so much commotion. People were singing. People were putting their clothes and branches of trees where he was going to walk as he was riding that young donkey. People were singing, Hosanna, blessed is he who is coming in the name of the Lord. People were happy to see that their Messiah has come. People were happy to make Jesus their king. But in the midst of that, as Jesus was looking at the city, the Bible tells us that Jesus wept. Even though people were joyful, people were singing, people were raising him up and worshipping him, but Jesus wept. Why did the Son of God weep? Simply because, Bazalwane, the Bible tells us the people ignored his teachings. The people ignored the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that caused tears to fall from his face. They ignored the gospel. They ignored the message. They ignored the word of God. When people ignore the word of God, we need to weep. That is why I was saying we need to pray for those brothers and sisters who are now no longer here with us. Those who are engaged in sin. As a church, we must weep and mourn for sin. Jesus, see them ignoring the truth. People have come to learn in this church what it is to be a Christian. They continue to live in sin. We must mourn for them. Jesus is mourning because of that ignorance. He was so sad because people's hearts were hardened towards the truth. He was so sad because they have misused their opportunities to be reconciled with God. My friends, as we come to church each and every day, it's an opportunity for you to be reconciled with God. But people misused that opportunity. Jesus wept. They ignored the coming judgment. Jesus speaks about that. He says, as people ignore him, as people ignore the way, as people live the way they want to live, they are ignoring actually the coming judgment, the wrath of God that is going to be poured upon those who continue in sin. But they ignore it as if it's something that's never going to happen. Jesus wept. You read Luke chapter 19, verse 43. This is what the Bible says. Listen, this is Jesus now. For the day will come upon you when your enemies will set a barricade around you, surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon you, upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus is saying in verse number 43, another reason why he was weeping when he saw the city. People did not know the time of their visitation. People did not realize that Jesus came for salvation and nothing else but salvation. And they came to him wanting more bread, wanting more miracles.
they ignored their time of visitation. They lived their lives carrying a sentence pronounced upon them. The judgment of God remained upon them. So, our mourning, Bazalwane, needs to be a specific kind of mourning. We need to be specific if we will be true mourners. We need to be like Jesus. Jesus was specific. Why did Jesus mourn? The people ignored him. They ignored the way. They ignored their time of visitation. They ignored the fact that it is judgment. So he was specific as he wept. So I'm saying this day today for us, Bazalwane. We need to be specific when we mourn. How can we be specific when we mourn? Believers has to mourn their own sin. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Those who carry the pew Bibles, it will be page 954. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I want us to read there to support the statement that I'm saying believers have to mourn their own sin. Let me read it for you. Maybe I should find it first. Here is what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul is writing. He said in his heart, something is troubling his spirit. He says, verse 1, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife. A man has his father's wife. Bazalwane, the Apostle Paul is deep troubled because there was a man in the church who has decided to take his stepmother and make his stepmother his girlfriend. It happens in the church. And the Apostle Paul is mourning. Actually, no, he's not mourning. He's explaining this thing to them. So he's saying to the church of Corinth, here's my problem with you. Here's the problem with the whole situation. Grief over that sin has not yet taken possession of your heart. It has not yet possessed your heart. Grief over that sin. You have not shown grief that there's something like that happening among you. Or else it will have manifested corporately. Or else you have prayed about it. Or else you will have dealt with the problem. But at the moment, we are not dealing with anything. It's troubling the Apostle Paul. He says to the church, there is no sense of guilt in your hearts. That is why we have not dealt with the sin. There is no sense of guilt. Paul says they had to mourn the presence of sin in their hearts. You see what is happening right now. There was sin in the church. The church did nothing about it. Now the church is in sin. Now they're carrying sin. So, Bazalwane, what does this tell us? Tolerating sin becomes sin for you. So, if you do not mourn for other people's sin, you are the one now who tolerates sin, who, if you don't deal with the sin, you are the one now to be blamed. The Apostle Paul says, he's not talking about now them mourning for that man who has taken his father's wife. No. Now they must mourn for themselves now. For the sin that is within them, because they tolerated sin inside the church. In verse number 2, the Apostle Paul says they are arrogant. If you read verse number 2, what does that mean? They want to stand above the word of God. They are proud. They are people who cannot be corrected. They think what they are doing is right. No one can tell them what to do, what not to do. The Apostle Paul says you are arrogant. Because they treat sin as if it is something usual inside the church. Sin is not something usual within the church. Sin is not something usual for those who are born of God. I'm not saying people who are born of God does not sin in an instant, but it's not something usual. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. That's what he's saying to this church. Friends, but also, let me mention to you that the believer who is not involved in any act of sin also needs to mourn. Even if there is nothing happening where you are right now, even if there is nothing happening in our church today, but we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to mourn for sin of others, the sin happening in the whole body of Christ. We need to look at the church, where the church is standing today, and mourn
So we're not only mourning for the sin that is within, we're not only mourning the presence of sin, but we're also mourning others' sin, especially those of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to open 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. If you have the Pew Bibles, it will be page 970. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's read verse 21. Let's hear how does this sin feels in the heart of the Apostle Paul. He says here in verse 21, you can write it down if you don't have it yet. Listen, Bazalan, he says, I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality and they have practiced. The Apostle Paul says, I'm afraid that I must mourn now. You see, this is a brother, this is someone who is not involved in any way. He's not part of this church. I will put it that way for now, so that it makes sense to us. He's not part of this church. He's not a preacher there. But now he knows that in the other church, there is sin. He says, now, I have to come and mourn over that sin myself. Even if you are not in an act of sin, true mourners mourn for the body of Christ. They look at the church, the impurity that is in the church. When we talk about the church, we talk about the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We don't talk about all these tents that stands around here and clappy clappy hands. We'll get to that one day. But we mourn for the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the Apostle Paul is dealing about here. He says his own soul will be torn apart when he gets there because of the sin of the church. So, Bazalan, it is not enough for us to mourn our own sin. It is not enough for us to mourn the presence of sin around us. But we need to go as far as to mourn for the church of God at large. If something is happening at City Baptist Church, we know about it, we mourn about it. If something is happening in Grace Bible Church, in Davyton, we know about it, we mourn about it. Something is happening in the Molesana Baptist Church, we mourn about it. That is what this verse is talking about. We no longer look at ourselves. This is a big body. We are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. That is what a true Christian is all about. Sensitive to sin. Sensitive towards sin. Friends, leaders are the ones to mourn first. The Apostle Paul says, I need to now mourn. Leaders in the church must mourn. They must set an example to mourn over sin. We must not tolerate sin. So sin in others should be something which consumes the whole of our being. There should be no excuse for sin. There should be no cover for wickedness within the church, but mourning. So, because friends, sin is not only present within the heart. Sin is powerful. It powerfully oppresses the heart and weighs the believers down. That's why people are so slow in doing things for the Lord. They don't want to go to church. Sin is weighing people down because sin is so powerful. It lives within the heart. I can preach until I'm blue in the face. I can preach with a smile like I always do. I can preach about hell and I can preach about judgment. I can preach about the love of God. I can preach about Jesus' tears for sin and sinners. But people will continue to rebel against God. So we need to mourn. It will not only take the preaching of the word. I know the preaching is powerful. The word of God is powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation. But you will call the church to mourn, to be true mourners. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 7, when you get home, you can read from verse 18 to verse 24. Let me summarize for you what he says in chapter 7. He says, I do what I do not want. That's the apostle, because of the sin that dwells within me. The Apostle Paul is not someone who's actively involved in sin, but there is something of sin that is still remaining in us that keeps us from doing and thinking wrong things, helping us to think wrong things,
No one here can say, this morning I've not thought of a wrong thing. No one. Why? That is sin that reigns within you. Doesn't mean now you're going to hell, but that's the power of sin. If you give then one opportunity for that, then you fall into sin. The Apostle Paul says, I do what I don't want to do because of sin that dwells within me. I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Sins dwell within me. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? He's crying, my friends. He understands the power of sin. That is the model, church, of a soul mourning the power of sin. Wretched man, who can deliver me from the power of sin, from this body of death? That is the model. That is the kind of a people that we need to be. People who mourn over the power of sin. You can hear the grief and the misery and the sorrow of the Apostle Paul's soul in this verse. He's not happy with sin oppressing him. The question is, my friend, how many times have we sinned? How many times, like the Apostle Paul, have we thrown up our hands unto heaven and mourned for sin with our faces on the ground, covered with ashes as it were? When last did you find it right to be sad in your heart because of sin? Not just your sin, the sin in the world, the sin around you, the sin of your friend next to you, your sin, the sin of your husband, maybe your wife, the sin of your children, the sin of someone at work, the sin of people on the streets. Because the sin of the people in the streets, Pastor, let me tell you, it brings God's wrath in this world. That is why we have all these xenophobic attacks. God one day is going to give us over to sin. Romans chapter number 1. He will say, do what you want to do, because you think you're smarter than me. If we don't mourn for sin, this place of Olivet will turn horrible. If we don't mourn for sin, we are a few people here today. But God doesn't say He wants 1,000 people to mourn. He wants true mourners. People recognize the power of sin that has entangled everyone in this world. That is why, friends, we need to move. You need to move from the crowd. Remember the disciples in verse number 1. You need to move from the crowd. Why? Because they only acknowledge the evil and the bad stuff that is happening around them. But there is no sense of sadness and sorrow over those things. It will need Christians to stand up and mourn. In other words, we must not get used to the sin, the chaos and the disorder of this world. We must not get used to it. I think, Bazalana, we have come too close to be so used to it. It sounds like it's normal. If there's no gunshot tonight, it's not normal. If somebody is not raped or killed, it's not normal. Oh, friends. In the contrary, that's abnormal in the eyes of the Lord. It needs the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to mourn for sin. We need to be true mourners, my friend. You need to mourn, you need to grieve for the offenses of other people against God, your own offenses against God. That is what a Christian is all about. A person who's consciously aware and constantly aware of the holiness of God. And he cries out, what does he say? Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. You no longer say it is the people, I am one of them. I live among them. Who is me? Cursed am I if I don't mourn. Cursed am I if I don't come to the Lord. That is what a true Christian is all about. That is what those who are poor in spirit are all about. Those who are poor in spirit, they do exactly that. They mourn because of sin. Have you ever felt that pain of discovering the effect of your sin, my friends? The pain of discovering the effect. What is the effect of sin? Death. Hell. Are we aware of those things, brothers and sisters in the Lord? But I must also say, here's something beautiful that I need to say this morning before I move on. This morning that I'm talking about is a blessing in disguise. That is why I said these people are true mourners. How is it a blessing in disguise? You read Luke chapter 6 verse 25. Write it down. This is what it says. It says, woe to you who are full now. Your stomach are full right now. You shall be hungry. Woe means curse. Woe unto you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. But here's the part of the verse I want you to know.
Woe to you who laughs now, for you shall mourn and weep. Friends, what Jesus is saying, he says, the time is coming where those who are outside the Lord Jesus Christ will mourn and weep. But as it is today, the Christian mourn. But the people are happy. They live the life they want to live. But there come a time in the future where those who are happy right now, jumping around like tortoises in the church, they will be mourning one day. And they will be weeping. They will find themselves in a place where there's gnashing and grinding of teeth. But for us, it is a blessing in disguise to mourn today. Because there's a future waiting for us where we will never mourn. It is a blessing for a church to mourn over sin. Because they understand God. Are we a church that understands God? That's what I need to do. I need to ask. We must be those people who mourn the presence of sin. They mourn the power of sin. They mourn the indwelling of sin. We must be people who weep against the ignorance of the word of God. People who weep against the misuse of the opportunities to reconcile to God. How many people have we gone to? Bazalane, Makayela, Sibashumayela. We need to mourn for them. They're ignoring their visitation. They're misusing their opportunity to reconcile to God. We must mourn. We must not be happy. But secondly, my second point that I want you to understand from me. I said first, the people are true mourners. And I explained to you how they mourn. Secondly, I want us to consider what is there. What is the benefit for the true mourners? The Bible says, they shall be comforted. There is a reward for true mourners. The Apostle Paul cried, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Well, the question is, how was he comforted after this cry? You cannot just cry and close the book on tears. The Apostle Paul continued to say in verse number 25 of the book of Romans chapter 7, he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is how he was comforted. That is Jesus Christ who is our Lord. But as Jesus Christ says in verse 4, where we just read it this morning, they shall be comforted. In other words, my friend, there is someone else who holds the responsibility of comforting a Christian. A Christian does not comfort himself. A Christian does not get comfort in booze, alcohol, and the lust of the world. There is something, someone else that holds the responsibility of comforting a Christian. And his name is Jesus the Christ. Let me give you a historical context. Open Jeremiah 31 verse 13. Those who have the Pew Bibles, YouTube page 659. I want you to see who is it that will comfort his people, or who is it that comforts his people. Jeremiah 31 verse 13. Especially the last part of verse 13. Let me read it for you, Slobo Sam. And I hope you are paying careful attention this morning. The Bible says, then shall the young women rejoice in dance, and the young men and the old shall marry. I will turn their mourning into joy. Please note, it says I, that is God speaking, I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrows. Ngelabuza, may I ask, who is it who's going to comfort these people? God himself is going to comfort his people. He's speaking here in the context whereby he was addressing the remnant, the people there who were faithful to him, people who were grieving over the prospect of exile. They were grieving that they were in exile. He's talking to them. He says, I will wipe your tears. I will bring joy to you. I will comfort you. People who mourn because of sin. Why did they get into exile? Remember, why were they in Babylon or in Assyria? Because they sinned before God. God led the evil king to capture them. But there were people who were mourning there. Remember Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and we cried. The people of God were mourning because of their sin. We remembered Zion. They remembered the house of God. They remembered the preaching of the word. They remembered the reading of the word. That is why when you get to Nehemiah chapter 8, they come together again to read the word of God. Because that's what they remembered all this time. They stood up, they raised up their hands, they allowed God to speak to them. But what I'm trying to draw you to is that they mourn for their sin. So God says he will comfort them, he will turn their mourning into dancing.
You read verse number 15. Listen to what verse number 15 says. So that we don't say, we're just saying it is God, it is Jesus who's going to comfort them. Let's see why I'm saying it is Jesus. Open again, Jeremiah 31. Now we read verse 15. Because we must not just say everything is Jesus. Maybe it's not Jesus. Maybe it's not Jesus who comforts these people. Verse 15. Thus says the Lord. A voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more.
Wow, okay.
Open Matthew chapter number 2. Let's read verse number 18. Let's see if we don't find the same words in Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 2 verse 18. My Bible says, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, for refused to be comforted because they are no more. What was happening here, Bazalana? We went through this one. Let me give you. King Herod was killing all the children in Bethlehem, trying to kill Jesus. God took Jesus and sent him to Egypt and protected his child. And people died. Children were killed. So, at the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, this scripture was fulfilled. So, Jesus is that comforter who was going to come, who is speaking about in verse 13 of Jeremiah 31. He's the one who comforts his people. You have Jesus in your heart, you have a comforter. You have Jesus right now, you will be comforted now and be comforted in the days to come. Jesus is the true comforter of his people. Of course, my friends, we have not yet partaken in full the complete and ultimate comfort. Something is coming for us, like I was saying. We are not yet comforted. Some people here don't even have jobs. It doesn't bring comfort. But spiritually, we are comforted in Christ because we know whom we have believed. We know Him. He is faithful. One day, He shall give to us that which He has promised. Our eternal life will be real. I'm not saying it is not real now, but you will start to enjoy it when Jesus Christ comes again. When the unbelievers will be crying and weeping, but we will be rejoicing. Comfort, my friends, is the reward for the mourners. It is our reward. Comfort, to be in Jesus, is our reward. To be with Him now, to be with Him again when He comes, and to be with Him forever. Speaking like Job, I know my Redeemer lives, and I shall see him face to face. He will stand on the earth, and he shall vindicate me. Our comfort is in Jesus. Let me give you another historical context. We like to be in context before we employ other things that are not supposed to be in the Word of God. Isaiah 41. It's fine, don't open it, but write it down. Isaiah 40, verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 40, verse 1 to 3. We read these words before. Whereas we were talking about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 2. It says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sin. Here are words that you are used to. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. If that is not talking about Jesus, I don't know. It's talking about John the Baptist, who was coming to say these words because Jesus was already on earth. His ministry was starting. He says, the one who was coming to comfort my people. Verse number one. Jesus is the comforter of God's people. Jesus is the reward for the mourners. And their comfort is eternal. Why? Verse number 2, chapter number 5, where we read last week. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's where true comfort is. Our treasures are stored somewhere in heaven, not in this world. Remember the rich man and Lazarus. We spoke about him last week. After this life, the poor and destitute Lazarus was found comfortable in heaven. Not because he had dogs licking his sores, no. But the poverty of his life shows us the true spiritual poverty. It shows us that he was in Christ Jesus' hands.
but he was comforted in heaven. Remember, the rich man says to Abraham, send Lazarus to dip a finger in water and drop in my tongue. I'm burning. This place is horrible. But the Bible tells us that Lazarus was comforted at on the bosom of Abraham. Oh, friends, our true comfort is in Jesus. And because of Jesus, the mourners will find themselves in heaven. Their tears will be wiped away. They shall sorrow no more. I hope, my friends, that you have been prepared today to enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. I hope, my friends, that that is your goal, to find yourself in heaven. I hope that is your goal, where you shall be comforted forever. So this reward is not only a promise, it is not only a gift, this reward of comfort. It is certain. It will happen. The Bible says, they shall be comforted. It is not a matter of maybe if you come to Jesus, you will be comforted. No, 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 no. They shall be comforted. That word, they. Bazo. Bona. They. That word, they. It gives us the sense that only the believers will be comforted. Only the believers will be comforted. Because they shall be comforted. Those who have drawn themselves out of the crowd and they come to Jesus as followers of Jesus, as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will or they shall be comforted. Because they have regarded God in this world. They have seen God's holiness and righteousness in this world as something to be cherished. They have seen the grace of God. They have realized that God is the rewarder of those who turn back to Him in mourning over sin. God is the rewarder of true believers. God is the rewarder of true mourners. They will be comforted. And to the unbelievers, here's the message. Eternity will be comfortless. My friends, we don't feel good for saying things like that because we like to say things like this. But it is the message of God. If you are an unbeliever, eternity will be comfortless for you. You will mourn, you will weep, you will wish you were not born. Come to Jesus. Repent from your sin. Turn away from your wickedness. Raise your hands. Lord Jesus, like the tax collector we spoke about last week. Here am I. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Oh, I wish, my friend, that is your cry. I wish, my friend, that is your prayer. And if we mourn like that, we will be comforted. Lord Jesus, here am I, a sinner. Save me. I've realized your holiness. I've realized your righteousness. I know that only you are the rewarder of those who cry and come to you. Friends, mourn for the suffering of the people. It is right. Mourn for the suffering of the people. Mourn for the death of the sinners. But above all, be happy. Rejoice if you are the one who mourn over sin. Because one day you will be comforted. One day you shall be taken out of this world of sin. One day you shall be taken out of the presence of sin. You shall be taken away out of the power of sin and the reign and ruin of sin. You will find yourself in heaven. Weep for the loved ones. Those who continue in sin. Those who remain under the wrath of God. Weep for your friends as they continue to provoke God, as they continue to love the world. Weep for your children. Perhaps God will grant them the gift of repentance. Perhaps God will grant them that gift of repentance that leads to the knowledge of the truth. And one day you will be comforted. Friends, let me put it this way. Jesus wants us to be like Him. He is the true mourner. The Bible in the book of Isaiah tells us that Jesus is the man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He wants us to be like Him, to see sin as sin is, like I explained to you in John 11 and Luke chapter 19. He wants us to be like Him, to weep over sin. The wise Solomon said, my friend, let me give you this verse from Solomon. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. Solomon continues to say, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to a house of dancing. Oh, my friends, I pray that this church may be a house of mourning, not a house of dancing. Because it is better to be the house of mourning than even a house of dancing. So I will rather be with people who will weep over my sin than people who will tell me that it is okay, I'm also human, I have a right to sin. I would rather be with people who will say, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. People who will point me to the shadow of Jesus Christ where I'll find refuge and strength. I would rather be with people who will remind me that whosoever is born of God does not continue in sin. I would rather be with people who will say, Jesus loves you. Your sin may be red as scarlet, but he shall wash it whiter than snow. I would rather be with people who will mourn for sin because they shall be comforted. That is the people I want to be with. Friends, if you will go on your knees and mourn for sin, you shall be comforted. If you will go on your knees and tear your clothes as it were and cover yourself in ashes as it were, you will be comforted. If you will grieve for the holiness of God that is violated in the churches today, if you will grieve for that, you will be comforted. If you will grieve for the righteousness of God that is ridiculed, that is mocked today because of our own conducts, you will be comforted. If you will grieve and confess the failures of your children, the failures of your family, the failures of your friends, your own discouraging and disappointing acts before God, if you grieve over that, you will be comforted. And one day it shall be said to you, blessed are those who confess their sins. Blessed are those who take refuge in the Lord and find Jesus to be the comforter, because they shall inherit the earth. Theirs is the kingdom of God. They shall be comforted. They shall know true joy. Church, the men and the women who mourn, they do not put up a show, like I told you in the story in the beginning. If we mourn truly, we don't put up a show. We mean it. We don't put posters. Come, let's have an all-night prayer. Come, let us cry to the Lord. No. We come here in the closet. You go in your own closet and you mourn. And you shall be comforted. We don't put up a show. We don't put up an appearance of sorrow, because God knows our hearts. But yet, as we weep, as we mourn, we know that we are comforted, because we have experienced the love of Jesus. Because it is Jesus who said, come to me, you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. In other words, I will give you comfort. Jesus promised us that, and he gives us to that. Jesus is the one who helps us to strive to be like him. Because the Bible says, for the joy that was set for him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Let me close like this, my friend. You can see you are tired now to listen. It is advisable. It is the right thing to do for us to mourn. Why? The Bible says, godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret. But worldly grief produces death. So you need to come before God and say, these are your words that you need to pray this morning. These are your words that you need to pray at home. Oh my God, I'm ashamed and in disgrace to lift up my face unto you, because our sins are heavy. I cannot even look up because of our sin. Our guilt has reached to the heavens. That was the prayer of Ezra in chapter number 9, verse 6. That is the prayer we need to pray as a people of God. That is true Christianity, my friends. We must be sensitive towards sin, and we shall see God. Friends, we are the blessed of God. It says, blessed are those who mourn. No, we don't mourn because we are cursed. We are the blessed of God. Why do we mourn? Because sin cause grief to God, and it needs to grieve us as well. So we are those who are sensitive to our sin. And if we grieve for the sin of others, we grieve our own sin, we grieve over the power and the presence of sin, the Bible says we shall be comforted. We shall find ourselves in heaven one day. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the good Lord bless us as we think about these things. Maybe you have not grieved over your own sin.
This is an opportunity, my friend, to grieve. As I pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. Oh, Lord Jesus, my friend is a sinner. Have mercy. Lord Jesus, my church has got sinners. Have mercy. Lord Jesus, my husband, my wife, my children. Oh, have mercy. Father Lord, Father God, thank you for speaking to us, for reminding us of the goodness of Jesus. That Jesus is the true comforter. Jesus is the one who sorrows, who weeps over sin, and teaches us to weep this morning. Jesus is the one who weeps over the ignorance of the Word of God, over the ignorance of the holiness and the righteousness of God, over the misuse of opportunities to reconcile to God. Jesus is the one who weeps over people who does not know the time of their visitation. We stand before you, O God. Help us to weep more and more, to continue as weepers, as mourners, because we shall be comforted. And we know indeed in Christ, even today, we are comforted. You are the one who wipes away our tears. We are the one in whom we shall sorrow no more. Have mercy on your child this morning. Have mercy on that one who is praying in his heart, saying, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, have mercy on me. Have mercy, Lord, grant grace to the one who's praying this morning. Say, my friend, my brother, my sister, my child is in sin. My church, my people in sin. Have mercy on us, O God. Show us Christ. Show us Christ. Show us Christ. In Jesus' name, we all say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, my friends. Thank you, brothers. Let us sing together. Number 84. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. The church of God says Amen.
Amen.